Radio Prague News. The Czech foreign minister says Prague is not closing the door on human rights issues in China. Al-Qaeda radicals are striving to spread their ideology to Muslims in the Czech Republic, according to a Czech military intelligence service report. And Adriana Krnáčová of ANO is to be the new mayor of Prague. The Czech government will continue to bring up the question of human rights in talks with Chinese officials, Czech Foreign Minister Lubomír Zaorálek told journalists in the Lower House on Friday in response to questions pertaining to the country's foreign policy on this matter in the wake of President Miloš Zeman's visit to China. During talks with Chinese top officials in Beijing, the Czech president said Prague would not question China's stand on Tibet or Taiwan and stressed that he had not come to the country to mentor its officials about human rights. The Czech foreign minister said that while the Czech Republic had economic interests in China, it would not close the door on human rights issues. Al-Qaeda radicals are striving to spread their ideology to Muslims in the Czech Republic, the Czech military intelligence service says in its annual report. According to the report released on Friday, this is happening largely through internet sites and social networks. Such activities are dangerous in that they increase the chance of lone wolf terrorist attacks that are hard to prevent, the military intelligence says. The military intelligence also monitored the activities of Chinese companies in view of the threat of technological espionage in the defense sector. The civilian counterintelligence service, BIS, likewise this week warned of what it called an exceptionally high number of Russian and Chinese spies operating on Czech territory. Adriana Krnáčová of the ANO party is to become the new mayor of Prague under a coalition agreement sealed on Friday. ANO won the local elections in Prague and has reached a deal with the Social Democrats and the three-way grouping of the Green Party, the Christian Democrats and Mayors and Independents who ran on a joint ticket. The winning ANO will hold the city's finances, security, health and housing. The Social Democrats should get transport, social policy and European funds, while the three-way grouping should take the environment, culture and infrastructure. Czech Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka on Friday met for talks with the visiting Serbian Prime Minister Aleksandar Vučić. The two officials discussed bilateral ties and economic cooperation, with the Czech side expressing interest in partaking in the planned reconstruction of Serbia's infrastructure, putting down rail tracks and building highways. The two heads of government discussed the possibility of holding a Czech-Serbian business forum to boost cooperation and trade. Prime Minister Sobotka is expected to visit Serbia in mid-December. The State Attorney's Office in Prague has filed charges of fraud against a man who embezzled close to 9 million crowns from the National Museum of Agriculture. Vladimir Prokop served as the museum's chief economist for a number of years after applying under a false name and lying about his qualifications. Ironically, this happened at a time when he had escaped from jail, where he was serving a sentence for the same crime. If convicted, he could get up to 10 years in prison. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The coming weekend should be clear to partly cloudy with day temperatures between 10 and 14 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
Hello, you're listening to Radio Prague with me, Ian Willoughby. Today, the country's military intelligence warns of a heightened presence of Russian and Chinese spies in the Czech Republic. We'll have all the news from the world of Czech business, and a Prague exhibition looks at Israel through the eyes of photographers from around the world. All that's coming up in today's program. The Czech military intelligence has just released its annual report, with the most striking finding that there's currently a high presence of Chinese and Russian spies in the country. The report also said that Al-Qaeda was continuing to spread its ideology via the internet, including in the Czech Republic. Jan Wellinger discussed the findings with security analyst and former head of the military intelligence, Andor Sándor, first touching on the threat of Islamic terrorism.
The internet is one of the major tools for Al-Qaeda and other terrorist groups to recruit, but also to train and even to teach them how to build up an artificial bomb to use it in a territory attack. As far as the Czech Republic is concerned, we still have a small number of Muslims living in this country, There's an estimate about 10,000 of Muslims living here. Out of them, 500 are the Czech converters. So the community is larger, small. But if we keep offending Muslims, which is not very often necessary because they don't do anything specifically wrong or they don't do anything specifically against the law, we may end up in a situation when a couple of them can be radicalized and recruited for further terrorist activities, either on the territory of this country or somewhere else abroad.
And that is what is referred to as the lone wolf?
I think this is the biggest problem. Lone wolves are the major threat, because if they are very cautious, then they do not communicate what they want to do over the social networks like Facebook or Twitter, and if they do not go to specific shops to buy components to produce large bombs, they cannot be identified by police or secret services. If they do not share their views, I mean the hostile views against the society, it would be a miracle if the police or the secret services would be able to find out what they are planning to do before they do that.
There's also the finding that there was a greater spy presence by China as well as Russia, which has been active for a number of years before Russia was interested, presumably, in trying to secure as much information as possible before the now defunct tender on the Temelín nuclear power plant. What areas do you think are important for Russia and China now in terms of espionage?
I would say in general, on every territory of every country, you have spies that try to find out information, that try to squeeze information and to make knowledge of what the country wants to do. As far as the Russians and the Chinese are concerned, the biggest threat is that they want to influence either political or both political and economic decisions of the country, which may at the end of the day harm the Czech Republic in a serious way. They try to destabilize society. They try to split society on major security and international issues. I mean, in particular, the Russians want to make the Czech Republic as a weak point of European Union, a weak point of NATO, and this is their primary task. So in this respect, what they are trying to achieve is very dangerous for this country, and I very much believe that the government pays a serious attention to what BIS and military intelligence gathered and put forward in an annual report. Now we are commenting only the annual unclassified report, the secret report that is submitted to the government. I believe that both organizations, after having presented that report, pay a substantial attention to these activities. But frankly, none of the organizations, there is no power enough within the Czech security institutions to be able to watch every activities of every or any possible spy on this territory.
Security analyst Andor Shandor, who was speaking there to Jan Wellinger. Now for a roundup of the news from the world of Czech business, for which I am joined by Jan Richter.
The Czech Republic has moved up in the World Bank's Ease of Doing Business survey. The country was ranked 44th in the world in the survey's latest edition, released this week, up 3 notches from last year's ranking. The Czech Republic has improved in 3 of the 10 categories included in the study. It has simplified procedures of starting a business, eased access to credit, and improved the enforcing of contracts. However, another 8 post-communist countries, including Poland, Slovakia, and Bulgaria, outranked the Czech Republic in the survey.
The planned transatlantic trade and investment partnership deal between the US and the EU will boost trade between the Czech Republic and the United States. That's according to the Czech Deputy Minister of Industry and Trade. The agreement will especially benefit the car-making, pharmaceutical, chemical and medical equipment industries and could boost the country's GDP by between 0.2 and 2.6%. However, critics of the trade deal argue it will give too much power to multinational corporations. The deal could be finalized by the end of the year.
The biggest Czech beer producer, Plzeňský Prazdroj, has announced it will cut some 70 jobs over the next year and a half, the Daily Lidové Noviny reported. The company said the move was motivated by the need to make production more effective. The layoffs, which are the biggest in the brewing industry in years, will affect workers in Prazdroj plants in both the Czech Republic and Slovakia, including its home brewery in Plzeň. Plzeňský Prazdroj, part of the world's second largest beer producer SAB Miller, has seen its production slump from 8.1 million hectolitres in 2006 to 6.8 million in 2012.
The Czech firm PSJ has signed a contract worth €395 million to participate in the construction of artificial islands off the Azerbaijani coast in the Caspian Sea, the daily Hospodarske Noviny reported. The Czech company will build one of the 41 planned islands, which should house four facilities, the head of the firm's export department told the newspaper. Work should get underway in the spring. The ambitious project, known as Khazar Islands, should feature the world's tallest tower and a Formula One racetrack. It should be completed between 2020 and 2050 at a cost estimated at around $100 billion.
And nearly one-third of Czech travel agencies do not comply with obligations towards their clients, according to findings by the Czech Trade Inspection Authority. Inspectors reviewed 74 travel agencies to find that 25 of them did not respect the rules. Most frequently, they failed to inform their clients about their rights. Some travel agents also arbitrarily extended the period for dealing with complaints from 30 to 90 days and did not provide accurate information about their tours and services, the head of the agency said. The travel agencies were fined a total of 300,000 crowns.
A new exhibition at Prague's Dox Gallery features wide-ranging depictions of Israel and the West Bank by 12 renowned photographers from around the world, including one of the greatest living Czech photographers, Josef Koudelka. Entitled This Place, the exhibition explores the complexities of life in Israel and offers an unusual take on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Jan Richter has the details in this edition of The Arts.
The exhibition This Place had its world premiere at the Dox Center for Contemporary Art in Prague last week. The exhibit features several hundred photos of Israel and the West Bank. They range from street scenes in East Jerusalem and Tel Aviv to portraits of Jewish settlers in the West Bank. Some photos capture aerial views of Bedouin settlements in the desert. Others focus on the West Bank Wall and Palestinian refugee camps. The exhibit is the result of an 8-year-long project initiated by French photographer Frederick Brenner.
When I initiated this project, it was very clear that the intention was to provide the tools for a range of artists with different grammars and different syntax to look at Israel as place and metaphor. And the great reward for me today is to listen to this incredible polyphony. And I believe I was the vessel of something which grew far beyond my understanding.
In 2006, Frederick Brenner invited 11 international photographers to travel to Israel for weeks at a time. Each of the participating artists eventually found their own themes to capture with their cameras. The Canadian photographer Jeff Wall spent 3 weeks taking photos for his piece entitled Daybreak, depicting a camp of Bedouin laborers at dawn with an illuminated prison complex at the background.
What I was most strongly struck by was the fact that Israel did not seem different from many other places I had been. I was mostly impressed by the fact that I felt I was in yet another complicated place, not more complicated than Canada or Turkey or the United States or Switzerland, complicated in its own obvious way, but in fact not some sort of otherworldly complicated place of the type that sometimes we feel we must be looking at when we read about it in the media or even in books.
Wendy Evolt from the United States worked in 14 communities in Israel and the West Bank, running workshops for the locals, whom she encouraged to express how they saw their own reality. She says the beginning was difficult and tumultuous.
As soon as I started working, I felt much more comfortable. So quickly, I began to see that there were so many layers of culture, of history, that it became a very complex, nuanced place. Continually having the problems didn't go away for me, but I was able to understand how they came to be, and the discomfort and the joy that everybody that I worked with feels.
The Czech-born, US-based photographer Josef Koudelka presented a series of photos of the wall the Israeli authorities built to separate the West Bank from Israeli territory. Mr. Koudelka says he decided to photograph the wall the moment he first saw it.
Like many of you, or all the people from our generation, we live behind the wall, and we wanted to get on the other side of the wall. And I understand the reasons, and there are many, that the wall was built. But in fact, to build the wall means that the failure of the society to solve certain problems.
Of all the participating artists, Nick Woplington from the United Kingdom spent the longest time in Israel. His series, entitled Settlement, looks at the life of Jewish settlers in the West Bank.
I decided to go and live there. I thought that by actually living there, I could immerse myself in the cultural life there. And I love Jerusalem and just the vibe, the energy on the street. And I tried to kind of mix with as many people as possible. And this kind of really affected my viewpoint on Israel, on my work, and eventually on the conflicts. I had a complete about-face in what I actually believed while I was there.
What made you decide to take part in the project?
I said no to taking part in the project. And after I said no, then Frederick came to London to see me and persuaded me to be, he said he had decided that I was going to be the first photographer and everything was there waiting for me and I should go for at least a month to see what it was like. And then, you know, I went for the month and I ended up staying more than 4 years.
Your contribution to the sort of group exhibition, yes, are photos of settlements, yes, in the West Bank.
Yes.
What made you choose this particular subject?
Well, I consciously chose not to take any photographs in Israel at all. So I only dealt with subject matter in the West Bank, and I've made a number of projects in the West Bank with the Bedouin, with the Palestinians, and with the settlers that it incorporates film, photography, painting, and sculpture, of which this is only one piece of work. So this was the initial piece of work. I was interested in settlers for a number of reasons. They were kind of outside the mainstream of Israeli society and they were living amongst the Palestinians and they were kind of at odds with everyone. And I really, when I arrived, I was kind of very much against what they stood for and what they believed in. So I thought, for me, it was a kind of like engaging with the enemy initially. Mm. That's what was my, you know.
How did you approach them? Was it difficult to actually get them, you know, to agree to being, you know, to be photographed by you?
Yeah, it was very difficult at first. I encountered many problems. People didn't want to be photographed. But slowly, by getting to know people and actually by living there, I was able to break down those barriers and I started to make pictures and take the pictures back and show the people. And slowly, people started to come round and, you know, one place led to the next and one group, one family led to the next family.
There was lots of debate about whether it's possible to take political, you know, to take pictures that are not political. Yours seem like everyday life of the settlers, but it's, of course, a highly political theme.
I think everything that you do is political, not just in Israel, in life. If you're making art, then just by trying to disengage from politics, you're engaging with politics in a kind of nihilistic way. So everything is political. What I tried to do is I tried to remove the sensational from the pictures. And so that you were able to view the pictures and the landscape in a kind of almost matter-of-fact way, and therefore hopefully I was able to bring to the viewer something far deeper than the kind of journalistic pictures that I had seen of settlers in the West Bank prior to making this work.
The author of the project, Frederick Brenner, says the photos are not political and were not made with the purpose to support the argument of either side in the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. On the contrary, the variety of approaches creates polyphony, in Mr. Brenner's words, that capture Israel with its complexities and divisions. In some countries, however, The exhibit has been considered controversial. Indeed, Mr. Brenner only decided to launch the exhibit in Prague after venues in some other European cities refused to host it.
We encountered difficulties to bring this venue in several countries. So far, in the country where I was born, I'm a French citizen. The exhibition is not yet going to France. To our surprise, despite the publisher of 8 books for this project and the catalogue, the exhibition is not going either to London.
The exhibition displays run at docks in Prague until March and is then set to travel to Tel Aviv, Florida and New York City. More information can be found at docs.cz.
Jan Richter ending this week's edition of The Arts. If you've got any comments about today's programme, please do share them with us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook or via Twitter. But that's all for now, folks. From me, Ian Willoughby, thank you very much for listening to Radio Prague, and goodbye.